105th Psalm, it says this: Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Our hearts gather this morning to seek the Lord and to rejoice. Draw me close to You. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. Hear You say that I'm Your friend. You are my desire. You see, no one else will do. Cause nothing else can take Your place. Just to feel the warmth of Your embrace. Help me find the way and lead me back to You.
Joint service of First Christian Church Conroe and the Woodlands Christian Church. We're so excited to see everyone here physically, but also we celebrate that those that are with those that are joining us online for worship this morning. We hope that you will experience God in new ways and come to know Him better. There are a couple of announcements this morning before we get started. For those that attend TWCC, our Feely Hearts program still goes on. If you would like to continue participating in that, see Karen in the parking lot right after service. And this next announcement is for everyone, in that next Sunday, you lose an hour of sleep. You spring forward, which means if you don't set your clocks forward before you go to bed, you're going to be late for church. And that's the most important thing. We don't want you late for church. We want to see you here next Sunday. Are there any announcements for First Christian?
Linda, do you know if there's anything?
Next week at our food pantry, we have 4 volunteers missing. If you have any time between about 8:30 and 11:30, we would love to see you.
We want to welcome you to join us in our praise song, our praise medley. You can stand for this if you'd like.
that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will. Please join me in the call to worship and the prayer of invocation. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes wind his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundation. It can never be moved.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and he trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. Our God, our hearts and spirits sing to you. Our souls and minds are known by you. May our worship not be about us, but be about you. All that we are is yours. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Amen.
This morning, as we come to God in prayer, I want to lift up Wayne. Wayne called this morning and said, "Joe, I just can't function and get out and get around." And so, if you don't mind, would you just step in? And I said, "Sure, we could do that." So we lift up Wayne today. Are there others that we'd like to lift up in prayer today? Jennifer? Okay. Over here. Let's try the organized. Hi. Yes. Dean and Jan. Okay, we'll lift them up in prayer. Yes. Daryl. Jordan. Anita's granddaughter. Yeah, Bree. the Crandall family. I'd ask you if you would, here in a moment, before I start praying, to take a few moments and pray yourself, and then I'll lead us. So the Lord be with you. Let us pray. The psalmist wrote, I lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is your keeper. Our God, as we gather here today in prayer, as we gather in worship, as we will gather around your table, as we'll hear from your word, as we lift up our hearts and our souls and our spirits in song, we do so to worship you in spirit and in truth. But as we gather, we have people that we know that need your touch. May their hearts be lifted to you. May their bodies be lifted to you. May their minds be lifted to you. May all that they are be lifted to you. May that outstretched hand of a soul be touched by your hand. Now, God, we ask you to heal. We ask you to heal physically. We ask you to heal emotionally. We ask you to heal spiritually. For when we lift up our eyes, the eyes of our souls and our spirits, to you, where else would our help come from but from you? For the maker of all, the creator of all, know the blueprints of all. And, oh God, you knowing the blueprint of us, you being our maker, you being our creator, you are also our healer. We thank you for the gift of gathering. We gather in this place and we gather virtually, but we all gather. And we gather when we feel well, and we gather even when our bodies keep us from gathering in this place. Even when sickness keeps us from gathering in this place. Even when just being careful keeps us from gathering in this place. But, oh God, we do gather because you have called us to gather. So in this time of worship, we not only lift up each other, we not only lift up the ones we know about, but we lift up the people who never made it past our lips, but we keep them in our hearts. Keep us in your heart, O God. And hear us as we say the prayer that your Son gave us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive.
I've told people this before, but as we prepare to come to the table, for those who are who are online with us, now would be a good time, if you haven't already, to prepare your elements for that partaking. But I start with a little story. I've told some people this before, but my birthday was back in January. My daughter got me this wonderful birthday gift. It's called Storyworth, but basically, every week, this company sends you a question, and over the course of that week, you type out your answer and you submit it. And at the end of 52 weeks, they'll make a book out of it. And it's a wonderful thing, a wonderful gift that my daughter gave me in order for me to reminisce and think about some things and put them down. That way they'll not be forgotten. But there's some humor to that, in that as I'm looking at the book and all the details that are in there, that I'm really doing her homework. She gave me homework for a year. And when I look to see who gets the book at the end of the year, she does. So I'm doing her homework for a year. But I tell you that to tell you that this table is much like that, in that Christ has given us homework, not just for a year, but for our whole lifetime. Christ has given us that homework to remember, but not only that, to share. When we partake of these elements, when we think about the bread, we think of God, of Jesus' hands healing eyesight. When we think of Jesus' feet, we think of the many miles that he must have walked around the Judean countryside to teach people about God. When we think about the cup, we think about the tears that streamed down Jesus' eyes as he prayed in that garden before his arrest, that God's will be done. So when we come to this table, think of the homework we've been given to partake, to remember, and to share. Let us sing our communion hymn, "Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread."
Thank you.
That, my friends, is a product of the Conroe school system right there. Yeah. Thank you for letting us come and worship with you, and thank you for opening your pulpit for me to share with you all today. You'll find out that when I preach, I like to spread the scripture out through the message itself, so it's most of the time, not a reading right up front, if you will. So a little different, but if you will give me a little grace in this, I think you'll see how it all ties together and fits together. Everyone deserves a chance to rewrite their story. Or, everyone deserves another chance. Well, he was what most people call a brat. A brat. You know, the kind of child that was just too spoiled. You've known those kind of children before. And the older they get, sometimes the worse they get. You know, if they're not reined in a little bit, sometimes that spoiled can almost be hyper-spoiled at times. And if you've ever been out with a couple and that child, the one who's spoiled just a little too much, and if you ever thought to yourself, why don't they do something about that? Can you imagine what that 7-year-old's going to be like when he's 17 years old? Come on. Everybody, we've all been there before. And how much fun is it to hang out with people who have a child like that at times? Well, he was the favorite, and it seems as if he was, well, let's just use the term spoiled rotten. Spoiled rotten. They did too much for him. They went overboard. He was his parents' favorite, and it showed. Parents didn't mean for it to be that way, but it just was. And for whatever reason, that kid, he was especially the apple of his daddy's eye. And then there were the other kids. All the other kids, they knew it. I mean, they knew he was his dad's favorite. And they knew that he knew that he was his dad's favorite. Now, we had six kids. And I would tell you that for one of them to be a favorite may be one thing. But for that child to know that he was the favorite or she was the favorite, oh my goodness. Put yourself in the place of the other kids in the family. We have watched this kid be spoiled his whole life long. We never got that. That never happened for us. Imagine everything that goes through all the other kids' mind. He never gets in trouble. Well, if I would have done that, I'd have been sent to my room without any dinner. I'd have been told to go pick my own switch. Oh, I just aged myself a little bit. We don't do that anymore, do we? I would have taken my phone away from me and told me to do a timeout. I'll tell you how I used to do my kids. So, 4 daughters, 2 boys. When you put them in timeout, it's a very different kind of timeout, I figured out. So, for girls, it was this. And it was really before the days that they all had their own cell phones at the age of 4. So how many of you know that a bedroom door is a privilege, not a right? Think about being a teenage girl, and all of a sudden your dad comes along and takes down your bedroom door. Yeah. I don't have any privacy. There's the bathroom. Those were the days where he had a phone on the wall. And the only way to really get privacy on a phone call was to have one of those long wiggly cords, right? So she thought she'd get real cheeky and she'd take the phone and she'd take that long wiggly cord because it was in the hallway that phone was. And she'd take it in the bathroom and close the door till I came along while she was on the phone one day and disconnected the cord from the wall and put on a cord that was about that long. Spoiled, he was. The other kids, all of it showed. And we get to our text. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other sons because he had been born to him when he was old. He made a long robe with full sleeves for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than he loved them, they hated their brother so much that they would not speak to him in a friendly manner. Oh, just another biblical dysfunctional family. Make things worse, the favorite, Joseph, he flaunted it. He flaunted this new robe. This full-length robe, this long-sleeved robe. Not a knee-length, not a short sleeve like everybody else had. Everybody else, the norm was short sleeves, knee-length. Oh, not Joseph. Not the chosen one. If you've ever watched the TV show, and I use this, Everyone Loves Raymond. Raymond would have had the floor length and the long sleeves. Poor Robert. Tall and big as his was, his sleeves would probably come all the way up to his shoulders. Joseph had the special, if you will. Not anybody else. But God was up to something, and Joseph started dreaming. One time Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Not all the time, but just enough, just long enough that it really just grated on their nerves. Now, I know about you, but when I was growing up, my younger sister, she was 3 years younger than me. And I got to tell you that sometimes, every once in a while, she grated on my nerves. And I didn't have a whole lot in common with her because, you know, I played baseball and I played football. And you're thinking right now, looking at me going, yeah, that's a stretch, pretty much looking at you right now. But I did. And she wasn't into those kinds of things. And I was into those kinds of things. And I liked all of that. It was 3 years difference. It was really hard to relate a little bit. But every once in a while, the scales of balance would get out of kilter. And mostly at Christmas time. You know, Christmas time. A time of glad tidings and great joy, and to count the presents underneath the tree to see if they all come out to be the same number. Joseph always got more. It grated on their first nerve and their last nerve. Joseph started having dreams, and good southern phrase, bless his heart, he shared it with his brothers. Do you think you're going to be a king and rule over us? His brothers asked. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and because of what he said about them. Things were just getting out of hand. Have you ever known when things were getting out of hand and it was time to reel things in a little bit and then nobody ever did anything about it? They just let it go on. I mean, this story, although way back in the day, although maybe a little exaggerated in terms of consequences, this story is a human story. And we can all relate to this, either in our own family or we've known a family and we've seen it happen before. But things get a little crazy sometimes. And when things get a little crazy, what do you do about it? Not us parents. No. Not this story. But when things get a little crazy, when things get a little unbalanced, when things get a little out of kilter, if you will, what do you do about it? A plan was agreed upon to remedy this favorite one. And when you mix jealousy, envy, and a little hate in a mixing bowl, very seldom does the result taste good. Verse 18, they saw him at the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted against him and decided to kill him. And they said to one another, here comes that dreamer. Come on now, let's kill him and throw his body into one of the dry wells. We can say that a wild animal killed him. Then we will see what becomes of his dreams. But everybody deserves a second chance. Everyone deserves a rewrite of their story. God was up to something. Reuben heard them and tried to save Joseph. Let's not kill him, he said. Just throw him into this well in the wilderness, but don't hurt him. And so that's what happened. Joseph ends up being sold into slavery. Another chance. A different chance. Off to Egypt he goes. Now the Ishmaelites had taken Joseph to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, one of the king's officers, who was the captain of the palace guard. The Lord was with Joseph and made him successful. You see, God was rewriting Joseph's story. From Joseph's perspective, it was another chance and a rewrite. From God's perspective, it was the main story all along. Interesting for all of us. When we think somebody's getting a chance, when we give somebody another chance, when someone has a chance to rewrite their story, we think, well, you got a do-over. I submit it's not a do-over at all. I submit it's just part of God's plan and story. Since when does God need a rewrite? But the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him so that the jailer was pleased with him. He put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners and made him responsible for everything that was done in prison. Oops, how'd Joseph get in jail? Well, he was just tall, strapping, good-looking, and had a full head of hair, just like me. Caught the attention of Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife, well, she kind of shined up to him. In the midst of all this shining up, Joseph says, I'm sorry, but I can't shine up to you. That's not what she wanted to hear. Accusations are made. He finds himself in jail, but even in jail, God is up to something. Everyone deserves another chance, even when I find ourselves in uncomfortable positions. How often in the midst of our pain or when we don't understand and all of our struggles do we have the opportunity to rise the occasion, whatever that occasion is, instead of feeling sorry for ourselves? But come on, it's easier just to sit down and watch Oprah and feel sorry for yourself. I don't even know if Oprah's on anymore. But pain is pain and loss is loss and bad luck is bad luck and destruction can be devastating emotionally and spiritually. But I bring you good news of great joy for all people. You were not created to live your life in circumstances, in low places or in darkness, but we are called to be a people of light. So it really doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter, Joseph, where you find yourself. We are called to rise and be people of light, even when we find ourselves in darkness. For even in darkness, you can bring light. Have you brought light to a dark moment in life? Have you brought light to a dark moment in life? The story continues. Joseph, in his dreams, Let me take this off so I can see what time it is. You know what it means when a preacher takes his watch off and puts it on the pulpit? There you go, nothing. Joseph, who had been given the ability not only to dream dreams, but interpret dreams, he sees that as a way to help bring light. God has given that to him as a gift to help bring light, to help tell God's story, if you will. So while in jail, he interprets dreams for a baker and a wine steward. And then the king is having dreams. Oh, very troubling dreams. And no one could interpret the dreams. No one could help the king. And the king is told about Joseph. Get ready. Everybody deserves another chance. Everybody deserves a chance to rewrite their story. Get ready, because God is up to something. Joseph is brought before the king. The king asks Joseph, "Can you help me?" I love the answer. Joseph tells the king, "I cannot interpret your dream, but God can." I love that example that Joseph sets for all of us. For you see, it's not what we can do, but it's what we can be as a vessel of God. But God can. Say that with me one time. God can. One more time. God can. I'd like for you to hang on to that all day today. So your takeaway for the day. My folks are used to me giving them a takeaway or two for the day. And here's your first takeaway for the day. What we cannot do, God can. Do you believe that? What we cannot do, God can. This favorite one's life is transformed by the God that can and by the God that does. Joseph's life story is changed, is rewritten, and the spoiled one becomes a favored one. Obedience, faith, and believing, all stirred up together in a spiritual mixing bowl, become a new recipe for divine favor. So today, yet another question. How are you doing with your obedience to God? Well, I really don't like that word obedience much. It's kind of an old-fashioned word. We really don't like that anymore. I kind of like the word follow a little bit better. It's not what the text is talking about. It's talking about obedience. Second, how are you doing with your faith in God no matter? Oh, well, I'm a little low right now. Oh, I'm kind of in a jail spot. Life's not the best right now. Okay, so when life's not the best, how's your faith? Does it shine, or does it become a little dimmer and darker? Third, how are you doing in believing the God of everything? Do you really believe in the can-do God? Everyone deserves another chance. We may not think so, but God does. And look out, God is always up to something. Joseph became a blessed man. He had a chance to play the part in rewriting of his brother's story and of his father's story, of his entire family's story. By loving, by caring, by forgiving, Joseph helped play a vital role and part in the writing of God's story for God's people. Obedience, faith, and believing. It's quite a recipe for spiritual success. And for us, for me, for you, where will your obedience and your faith and your believing take you? Do you have to rewrite or write or have a do-over that you are in charge of? Or do you trust the can-do God enough to let Him write that story and just feel privileged enough to be part of it? Oh, but you do play a part. You have to believe in the author of the story. There's so much more to that story. So many more takeaways. So many more to-dos that we could talk about. So many more acts of obedience, faith, and believing. All that we could talk about. Those triplets took Joseph right to where God wanted them to take Joseph, to the center stage of God's story. For God can take the most unlikely and write a wonderful, wonderful life story. Your last takeaway. God's center stage can take you right where God wants to take you. But to do that, you have to be willing to follow. Are you willing to let God put you right where He wants you to be and let the author of the greatest story be in charge of your story while you participate in His story? Have you ever known a spoiled brat? When writing this, believe me, several came to mind. But be careful not to draw a final judgment or draw a permanent conclusion. God might just have a rewrite in their future. After all, everyone deserves another chance. For God is always up to something. Would you pray with me? Our God, we thank You for Your Word and how it speaks to us. We're reminded, if you will, of why we have another chance. We're reminded of how it all came about. And sometime later, this guy named Jesus came along. And He lived and He taught. He led by example. He loved by example. He loved first and He loved most. And He challenged not only His disciples, for all of us to do the same thing. For in loving first and loving most, we find ourselves a bright spot in God's story. So God, today we lift up the example and the Savior of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, died for us, rose, defeated death, and the free gift of salvation is offered to any and all who would but call upon His name. And oh God, that's being given another chance. No one deserves it, but Your story offers it to all. Our God, we thank You for this time of worship. If there's anyone here today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, may they think that through today. And there are so many who'd be happy to talk that decision and talk that question. Talk to them about who Jesus Christ is and what making a decision for Him can do in your life. Oh God, for anyone looking for a church home, there are two churches here whose doors are open to anyone who would like to be part of a church family. Whether you're here today or whether you're online, it's easy to get a hold of First Christian Church in Conroe, Texas, or the Woodlands Christian Church in the Woodlands. Call us. We'd love to visit with you. Our God, we thank you for these people, and we thank you for this place. We thank you for this gathering, and we thank you for your grace. Be with us as we lift our voices and sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Amen. Would you stand and we all sing together? God can.
God can.
One more time. God can. Would you pray with me? Our can God, that God that can, we thank you for the privilege of being here and gathering today. Thank you for this, putting in us the knowledge that you can do, and thank you for all of us who know that you do. May we never look at one and think, "Oh my, what will happen to them?" But we pause for a moment and go, "Oh my, what can God do with them?" Everyone deserves another chance. May we see people in light of that love, as we love first and we love most. And it's in Jesus' name that we have gathered and prayed, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.